brother.
God bless you.
Thank the Lord for the good thoughts that Brother Mike's brought to our attention. I thought about the apostles. They not only lived their life and they left their nets and left their lifestyle and families and followed the Lord even to death and were martyrs in most cases. And, others imprisoned and on the Isle of Patmos with John, and was blessed to write there in captivity the wonderful book of Revelation. By the grace of God, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ was given unto John, and he gave it unto us. And you just think about a life that many people would have said, well, they really gave up everything, and yet what they were blessed to have far exceeded anything that they gave up. And certainly any follower of the Lord Jesus Christ can say that what we give up in service to the Lord, we have many times over, above and beyond anything we could talk about, received of His hand so many wonderful things, houses and lands and brethren and fellowship and all of those things. And what is awaiting us is even better, and in a home with Him in heaven and in immortal glory. Not that we merited or earned, as well as the blessings in time, we didn't merit those or earn those either. But they're awaiting us as recipients of His grace. And what a wonderful blessing that is for us, especially when times get difficult in this world, to know there's a better place. If things don't get better here, there's a better place awaiting us over there. And in that thought and in His fellowship, even the worst of circumstances can prove to be a blessing to us. As the hymn writer said, prisons would palaces prove if Jesus would dwell with me there. And when I've been in some of the most difficult places in my life and have felt the Lord, it's been some of the most wonderful experiences that God's blessed me to have in this world. And you may be in the midst of that right now. I don't know where you are this morning. I know as sure as we're in this world, we're still fighting the battles that come as a result of being alive and in the world. And let us always remember that greater is He that is in you than is he that is in the world. We have more with us than against us. And that's what we want to talk about or think about this morning. I'd like to call your attention just for a little while. We spent a lot of time in, I guess, preliminaries, people would call it, but sometimes I feel more liberty in my efforts to speak in a preliminary setting than I do when I'm in the pulpit. So I don't think preaching's ever just delegated just to the stand when you get in it. I think a preacher preaches if he's a preacher and a minister of the gospel when the Lord gives him liberty. And sometimes that's before the services start, and sometimes it's after the service is over. Sometimes it's in the van on the way to church, and sometimes it's in the van on the way home. Sometimes it's to your wife when you get home, and sometimes it's anywhere you are. I love it when the Lord gives you an opportunity to share the gospel with any one of His little children, wherever that might be. And I also love it when God's children gather for the purpose of hearing the gospel. I feel a great burden this morning that I present the gospel in clarity and in a way to honor the Lord to you that have met, that you might be fed. And that is a major concern for me as a minister, is that you're fed. I really am not so much concerned, well, I'm blessed to do that. I'm not so much concerned, it could be a song that blesses you with that. It could be one of the brethren at the church, could be a visiting minister, it could be in many ways. But I don't want to see God's little sheep and God's little sheep not fed. I want them fed. Someone who prepares a meal for people that are coming to their house, they want to see those people fed. They don't want them to go away. A good host or hostess wants to make sure that the people that come are fed. And this morning, as a minister of the gospel, I am duty-bound as an under-shepherd with an over-shepherd that I'm looking to, a chief shepherd, the Bishop of our souls, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm looking to Him to feed us and to supply what I need to share with you, to take the few loaves and fishes and distribute them so that the little lambs and the sheep can be fed this morning. And we have a burden given to us. The Holy Ghost has made us overseers to feed the church of God, to feed the lamb and the sheep of the church and the household of faith. And I pray that the Lord blesses us with that this morning. It's been a good morning thus far. I'd like to read to you from the book of Luke this morning, chapter 11. I'd like to begin reading it right at verse 1, where it says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" And what a wonderful passage of Scripture and an answer Jesus gave to his disciples. You can read over in the Sermon on the Mount, which is found in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, another time when Jesus delivered a prayer teaching them how to pray. And this prayer is often referred to and is often quoted by so many people. I'm sure all of us have. I know it was one of those verses when I was in my early years of school that we used to have to memorize. And it was one of those memory verses that most of us, I think, at some point probably have or have memorized. He says in that Sermon on the Mount in chapter 6, he says in verse 9, he says, "After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." A lot of people have come to the understanding and the thought, which I think is an incorrect understanding and thought, that this is what's called the Lord's Prayer, and it is what we refer to as the Lord's Prayer. But it's not the Lord's Prayer in that it was a prayer that He prayed. It is the Lord's Prayer in the sense it's the prayer that He taught us, or a prayer, or a pattern of prayer that He taught us how to pray. Because when they asked Him, after He was praying and He had ceased, and they asked Him, "Teach us to pray," which if you want someone to teach you to pray, I don't know of anyone better to go to than Jesus. Do you? You ever get in your life how you're wondering, what am I praying for? Lord, am I praying for the right thing? Am I asking for the right thing? Am I praying selfishly? Am I praying for things I really shouldn't be praying for? Or we sometimes hesitate to ask for things because we're wondering, is that something that I really need? And we don't know what it is we truly need. We do know there are some things we can pray for, and with a question, we know we need them. Because the Bible teaches us that. And if we read the Bible, it will give us a lot of things that we surely know today that we need to pray for. And we can have a clear understanding. You don't have to question about that. Things spiritual, we really don't have to question too much whether we should pray for that. I don't think any of us would have to question today, do we need the Lord to be with us in this meeting to be blessed? The answer to that is absolutely. We know that. So we're going to say, Lord, bless us in this meeting. I think all of us understand that if the preacher doesn't have the Lord's blessing to preach, there's nothing coming out of that fellow. I don't care who it is, whether it's me, whether it's somebody else. There may be men who think they can do it on their own. There may be men who think they can go to a school somewhere and they train them how to do it. There may be men, and times maybe all of us get to an idea and thought, if I just study enough, if I just read enough, if I get into the language enough, if I know the English well enough, or the Greek, or the Hebrew, or the Chaldee, or in whatever language it was written in, if I got to the original tongue and studied that more, if I just spend more time. You know, sometimes I'll go away and I'll feel like I've made such a mess in my preaching. I'll just say things like, silly things like, I'll tell Sharon, I'm just going to have to go study a whole lot more. Now, is that true? Should I study? Absolutely. The Scripture says for us to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And a minister that is called of God is duty bound to study the word of God. If he doesn't study, it will be shown in his preaching and it will be reflected in his preaching. And if the congregation doesn't study, it'll be shown in their hearing and reflected in their hearing. But let me say this to you. All the studying in the world, from the preacher to the congregation, will never bless a service in and of itself to have successful preaching and hearing. In order to have successful preaching and hearing, we have to have the Lord stir the heart of the preacher. He may fill your head with such wonderful theology that you become the best of the best Pharisees in this world and go out in this world carrying your hypocrisy and your Phariseeism with you everywhere you go. And you may be so religious that you feel like, I don't need anything, but what a sad state of affairs that individual is in. What preaching will do is knock all that out of you and cause you to be that poor, humble little contrite brother or sister that can sit down with the Lord and have sweet communion and fellowship, who's lifted up from a low state to a high state. We all come in this world in a low state. Today I need to be carried up out of the dunghill, don't you? I can pray, Lord, lift me up. There's a hymn that says, when I'm as poor in spirit, I cry, Lord, lift me up. I want to go higher with Thee. It's not one we sing, it's one I sang a long time ago, but I still sing it from time to time, because when I get so low, I say, Lord, help me. I may not know what to pray for, but I know I need His help. I may not be able to tell Him how to help me. As a matter of fact, I get in trouble when I start telling Him how to do it and what to do. Where I am in better shape is when I say, Lord, it's in Thy hand. Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Mold me and make me. Thou art the potter, and I am the clay. Bring me into conformity with Thy will. Lord, let me not be conformed to this world. Lord, help me. And He teaches us in this wonderful model prayer how it is we're supposed to pray. Now, He's just told us that we're not to use vain repetition. He didn't say it was wrong to use repetition. He said it was wrong to use vain repetition. Sometimes we say, well, I'm just repetitive. You ever pray and you feel like you're saying the same thing you said last time? Well, that's okay if you mean it just like you did the last time. If you mean it from your heart, you could pray the Lord's Prayer every day in the sense of repeating the exact words. If you mean, our Father who is art in heaven. If you mean, hallowed be Thy name. If you mean the things that are written there, give us this day our daily bread. If you mean them, that's not vain repetition. There may be repetition, but it's not vain repetition. What's vain repetition is when we say, repeat and follow after me, and we just go through that motion. Sometimes we get involved in that when we're not really aware of it. And I'll tell you where I'm guilty of it. And if you fit in that, you can come along with me. But I'm talking more to me than you. I'm confessing to some degree. When I go through songs and I'm singing them, if you notice them, many of them are prayers unto God. They're talking to Him. They're expressing our thoughts to Him.
And they're like the Psalms. Sometimes they'll change in the middle of one of our Psalms, and it'll go from talking about the Lord, and it'll go to talking to the Lord, and then it'll go back to talking about Him. And if you read the Psalms and you study them, you'll see that often the psalmist David will go right in the middle of his conversation about the Lord. He'll start talking to the Lord, and then he'll come back and start talking about the Lord. And I'm telling you, that works in the life of God's little children. If you talk to Him a lot, you're going to have to talk about Him. And if you talk about Him a lot, you're going to have to be talking to Him. And the more you talk about Him, the more you know you need Him. And the more you know you need Him, the more you realize He's with you. And if somebody's with you, it's kind of rude not to talk to them, isn't it? If you're riding down the highway, Brother Bobby, yesterday as I was riding down the highway, you know, he wants to make sure everybody's kind of on track here. And he looked over and checking to make sure I'm okay. He said, "Brother Gary, you're awful quiet. You all right?" I said, "Brother Bobby, I'm kind of on the way to church." Now, I didn't mean for them to get quiet by that. I'm just saying I was thinking now, if I'd have known I wasn't going to be in the arrangements and I was just going to get there, I'd have been right in that conversation a whole lot more. But I was thinking, okay, Lord, help me. I don't prepare a text when I come to God's people to preach the gospel, but I don't come without looking at the Bible, trying to study, begging Him to fill my heart with something, begging Him to help me as I look at God's Word, and that He would give that to me, and I want to come with something on my mind. And it's not a real pleasant experience for me to be going to the house of God and wondering, you know, there's nothing that seems to be especially impressing my mind and thoughts. Now, sometimes that's the best preaching that happens, is when a brother comes that way. Other times, it may be something God gives you on Monday that you're blessed by the grace of God to feed on all week. And then you come to the house of God and the Lord just opens that up and you feel His presence in it. But I'm telling you, sometimes you'll have that all week and you get here on Sunday morning and some little child of grace needs something other than what you studied all week, and therefore you better go as the Lord leads you. And then when you go there, you better be willing to follow Him as He leads you when you're there. Not just where you got point A that looked real good when you were at home, and then point B where that really looked like that fit in and you got that little passage ready, and point C, and when you get there, and sometimes we think, "Oh, I'm off track and I'm confused." I want you to know the best preacher that ever preached the Sermon on the Mount. And if you follow that text, you won't be able to outline it the way a person who teaches you how to preach a sermon will tell you to outline it. But the most glorious passage you can read is Matthew 5, 6, and 7. I encourage you to read it. That wonderful sermon that was preached by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And did He chase rabbits? No. You might call it chasing rabbits, but I'll tell you what He did. He laid out what everyone in their hearing knew and needed. And a minister doesn't know what you need. But if he listens to the Lord will lead him, won't he, to what you need for that moment and for that time and for that occasion and for that and what's coming up and what's happened in the past and whatever you're going to face. And I know this, you and I need to pray, don't we? We need to be praying. We may not know about all the temporal things, the timely things. I may not know whether it's best for me to pray that I get this house or whether I don't. I may not know whether to pray, should I have this happen or should I take this job or do not. We sometimes wonder, am I praying wrong? We're asking for a job, it may not be the job we need. We're asking for the house, it may not be the house that we need. Or it may be the exact one, and who knows that? Only He knows that. We worry, well, am I asking wrong if I ask for it? No. He said we could let our... We could express our thoughts and we could come before Him and let our heart flow out before the Lord. As a matter of fact, if you're thinking it, He already knows it anyway. He knows your wants and what you need before you even ask. It's wonderful to know we're praying to a Heavenly Father. The most important things we should be concerned about our spiritual welfare. Lord, keep my mind focused on Thee. Lord, keep my home together focused on Thee. Lord, keep peace in the family. Lord, take care of my children. We know He's concerned about children. Aren't you glad the Lord's concerned about you? You can pray for your children. Lord, watch over them. Lord, protect them. Lord, I want to tell them this, but they're not at a place anymore I can really tell them that. And when I tell them, it won't mean anything. Lord, you take care of them. You handle it. Lord, this is too big for me. Lord, all things are too big for me. Lord, help me understand that Thou art that friend of sinners that is with me in the most difficult and hard times. And I don't know what's going on right now in my life. And I can come to You just as I am with one plea. But that Thy precious blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee. And I'm coming this morning, Lord, saying I need You. And we do need Him this morning. I don't care where you are, how good it's going or how bad it's going. You need Him. And He has said, come. If you're His child, He said, come. Come unto Me. Who? All you that labor and are heavy laden. Sounds like us, doesn't it? And He'll do what? He'll give you rest. You need some rest this morning. You're worried so much you can't sleep. Tossing and turning. Trying to get it solved. Trying to get it settled. Want to have some peace about it. And it seems like every time you get this straight, something else happens. I'm telling you, the only way you and I will have one moment's peace is to rest in the One who loved us before the very foundation of the world. And has promised that there's nothing that can happen to us that He's not already aware of. You are in His hands. Lean on it. Trust in it. Depend on it. He cannot fail. Jesus will not fail when we can depend upon Him. And that's where we're trusting today. And He was teaching us how to pray. Not so we just repeat some prayer and say it. There's too much repetition in this world of things that are really valuable and important, but absolutely no meaning in them. When we sing those songs, I encourage you, brethren, don't just sing them like you're singing any old secular song in this world. You sing them from your heart as a prayer to God. Where you're giving Him the honor and the praise and the glory. And I'll tell you what will happen. Your song service will get better. You'll sing better. You may not sound better. You might sound worse. You won't even care so much about how you sound. You won't even care what others think about how you sound. You won't care whether they like your singing or not. I've known brethren that sang, couldn't hit a tone in a bucket, and they sounded like the same monotone going. They just tone deaf. They didn't have a note in them. But I'm telling you, those the old saints still today, bless my heart, when I think of them having the courage to just open their mouth and praise God, despite what anyone would think. I am making a joyful noise unto the Lord. I'm praising Him. He's done so much for me. I've got to praise His name. I'm going to profess it. And I'm not singing just through my vocal cords. I'm singing from my heart praises unto Almighty God. I'm lifting up my voice and giving Him praise and glory and adoration because He's been so good to me. Listen, all the theology in this world, if it doesn't have that in it, it's empty and it's cold. If it doesn't have love towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's even sin. It's not right. It's not correct. And I pray that God would stir our hearts that every time we talk to Him, we realize we're talking to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're giving Him the praise and the honor and the glory. He gave us this prayer. If it was one to pray every time, He would have certainly used the exact same words when He told them how to pray. He would have given them that. So it's not a prayer that you just simply say. It's a pattern for prayer. The things that He included in that prayer are certainly something that we're to include in our prayers. He said, "Our Father, which art in heaven." It's wonderful to pray to the Almighty God that created the heavens and the earth. It's wonderful to pray to one who has all the power, who holds the waters of the ocean in the palm of His hand. And all the dust of the earth, He laid it out in a span. The great God that inhabited. I don't understand a God that inhabited the eternity. Do you? I can't get my eyes and my thoughts about that. But I know the one we pray to is the God that inhabits eternity. That means, think about eternity. Can't get it? Well, He lives in it. He is in it. Not used to be, not going to be. It's eternity. It's all one time. How do you get that? I don't know, but that's a God. I can't think about a God who is our Father, but He is our Father. Listen, He's not just the great mighty God. He's your Father. He's your Father. He loved you before you were ever created in this world. He chose you as His child. You are a choice vessel unto Him. You are a chosen vessel unto Him, like the Apostle Paul Jesus said, you're a chosen vessel unto me. We are chosen, a chosen generation. God saw you and all your mess and all your trouble and all that you would have been without Him. I'm telling you, your life and my life have been a mess in what we've done. But what a mess would there have been if God had never touched it in any point or place? Where would we be? You take the most vilest sinner that we know openly in this world, and but for the grace of God go you and me and all of us. We all have sinned. We all are in the depths of sin. Never would have recovered ourselves. Never would have been concerned about it. Never would have thought a thing about it. And if we had tried to clean up our lives, it would have been for our own glory and for our own praise and for our own self-motivation. It would be all about us. I'm telling you, brother, if you've had any thoughts that have been other than that, it's because the God of heaven saw fit. He chose you. He loved you before the very foundation of the world. And then in time, He called you. He quickened you. He sent His Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, came and dwelled in your heart. But He couldn't have done that had there not been a Savior that came. God, the Son, came and took upon Himself a body of flesh and paid a sin debt we could not pay and washed us in His own shed blood. Without that death of Jesus on the cross and the seating on the right hand of the Father, there would be no intercession. You and I could not pray if we wanted to. We would not want to unless the Spirit of God worked in our heart. And there'd be no one to pray to if there wasn't a Father who had loved us and in covenant even before the foundation of the world. Prayer is amazing, a wonderful thing. And it's all been given to us by the grace of Almighty God. And I ask you this morning, what would your life be today if there was no prayer? If there was no prayer. It'd be empty, wouldn't it? I'd be scared, wouldn't you? I'd be afraid. I'll tell you, there's a little hymn writer said, sweet hour of prayer. I've not spent many hours praying in the sense of sitting there for an hour praying. I should spend more doing that, shouldn't we? Sometimes we think I'm too busy. Listen, if you're too busy to pray, you're too busy. Isn't that true? If I'm too busy to pray, I'm too busy. I got too much to do. I don't have time to pray. Listen, if you have time to do anything, pray. Because if you try to do something without Him, and you look to Him, and you're not looking to Him, and you're not leaning on Him, what you do is not going to be beneficial. Even if you think it is, it's going to fall apart. The bigger you build it, the bigger the fall is going to be. I'm telling you, He has to be the foundation of our life. And one of those ways of access to Him, one of the parts of the armor that I... over in Ephesians 6, it tells us to put on the whole armor of God. And when you get to the end of putting all the armor on, He says, praying with all prayer and supplication to God. Isn't it good? We pray to God. We pray to our Father who art in heaven. And we say to Him, hallowed be thy name. I dare say we've said the word many times, never thought about it very much. I know I have. There are many songs that I'm singing at times where I should be aware of the content of what's in them. And I'm getting through them. But you know when I skip verses, the reason I skip the verse isn't because I was really paying a whole lot of attention to it. You understand that, don't you? And anytime we... And I'm not saying... Listen, I'm not saying that that's terrible. I'm saying those are things that we can... That we do sometimes, and we think, well, I've never been guilty of saying something and just in vain repetition. Listen, brethren, we can so easily, you know, we say, God bless you. We should mean God bless you, should we not? When we say something, the Lord be with you, we should say, really from our hearts, the Lord be with you. So often, it's like, hello, how you doing, you know? And so many times when people ask you, you know, how many times when people are asking you how you're doing, do they really want to know how you're doing? Just start telling them sometime. You'll find that they don't really want to know how you're doing. They're just being nice. How you doing? That's the vain words of this world, and we all have them. Do you know Jesus never had a vain word? That's an amazing thing in and of itself. He never said anything that wasn't absolutely needing to be said. He never just was filling in dead air. He wasn't worried about the radio station that has dead air time. He wasn't just saying something. If there wasn't anything to say, He was quiet. And sometimes He said nothing. Even when they wanted Him to talk, He said nothing. And in His silence, He spoke volumes.
And then when he did say things, every word that he said is important. I want you to also know there's not one word in this Bible any more or less than important than any other word in this Bible. If it wasn't important, it wouldn't be in the book. And the reason of that is I didn't write it. And you didn't write it, and other men didn't write it. There's no other book you can say that about. Other books have important places and other words that are not so important. I'm telling you, there's not an and or a the or a but in this book that isn't important. Because this book isn't like any other book. It was written by our Father who is in heaven. And there isn't a thing he did on this planet that didn't have an importance. Sometimes you and I would have we'd probably say, I think the mosquitoes, just all of them should be gone. They should have been gone. I read a little plaque one time, I had to laugh at it. Said, I wish Adam had swatted both those mosquitoes on the ark. Not Adam, Noah. Finally got this back. See how the emptiness can come out of us? See, I wish he'd have just swatted both of those mosquitoes on the ark. And that way we wouldn't have to be worrying about all these mosquitoes. We wonder, what purpose do they have? I'm telling you, you take one plant, one bug out of the environment, and it'll affect everything else in that environment. Men get the idea sometimes, we got trouble here, we're going to fix it. So they do something to fix it. And you know what a mess they make? The next thing you know, they got more problems than they ever dreamed of how to get all that fixed. And the thing they try to do to fix that usually messes it up. I'm telling you, God can fix it and does fix it. I've seen places that were completely desolate. And men said it's going to be years and years before all of this would ever get straightened up. And they leave it barren like that. And the next thing you know, you got this wonderful place that just looks like nothing ever happened. That's because the Lord who made this planet is the one who keeps this planet. And though we do know that it's a cursed planet, and sin entered into the picture, and the plant, what it would have been like to have seen it like it was in Eden. It's beautiful now. What would it look like to have seen it as it was in Eden before the curse, and to also look at it through an eye that isn't cursed by sin also? You know, our mind doesn't see nearly as good as it used to. I used to look up at that blank blue sky, and I say, how beautiful it is, and now I got little things floating around up in that blue sky all over the place, you know, and they call them floaters. And I thought if I could get rid of all them floaters, I could really see things a whole lot better. Long sometimes to see that. You know, one day I believe we're going to see without a single floater in our eye. I don't believe you have to worry about glasses. You won't have to worry about cataracts. You won't have to worry about anything. I believe we'll see better than they saw, or as good as and better than they saw in Eden. We'll see, and the most wonderful thing we get to see is Him. Face to face. We'll get to see our Father who art in heaven. We see Him now in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We hear Him in the preaching of the gospel. We see Him in the ordinances of the church. We see Him in fellowship. We can come to Him in prayer through the blood of Jesus and enter into the Holy of Holies as we're in our closets, wherever that is. You separate yourself from the world. And by the way, that doesn't mean you have to get in a literal closet. It means you separate yourself from the world and you pray without ceasing. You pray and faint not. You say, well, how could you pray? Jesus, it said, ceased to pray. Well, He ceased in the sense of His open communication publicly with the Lord. But there was never a time Jesus wasn't in complete communion and fellowship with the Father. He was never a time that He was not, except one. And that is when He was hanging there on the cross between heaven and the earth. And He said, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? If you think about one who had had communion with the Father all of his life here and all of the eternity, how do you get around eternity? I can't. When I try to explain it, I come up speechless. I'm just without words. It's too high for me. I can't attain unto it. He'd had that fellowship. And here, in a moment of time, when our sins were put upon Him, and He was separated in the same, I don't know all about it, but I'm telling you, in the same way you and I would have been separated from Him throughout all eternity, He bore that. He paid that for us at Calvary. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He knew why. But His
His lesson was even then for us. Jesus, our great example. I love that hymn, don't you? Jesus, great example. Pattern of all purity. I'll tell you, Jesus gave us the example of how to pray. Not so that He said, I speak to you, Father. Not so you hear me, but that others would hear me. Because you hear me always. Thou art always with me. Thou have always heard me. There was never a time He was separated except there at Calvary. And He did that for us, for His great love toward us. I'm in overtime. It says, teach us to pray. And as John also taught his disciples, I'd have loved to have been taught by John, wouldn't you? That would have been wonderful to learn from that old Baptist preacher, John. He was a strange old bird, but old Baptist preachers are. And the Lord called him out, blessed him, and sent him. And then but to be taught, they said, teach us, Jesus. And He gave them that wonderful lesson. He said, when you pray, our Father which art in heaven, very quickly, hallowed be thy name. That name is separate from every other name. There should be no name like the name of God for you. The name God, the Lord God Jehovah, the Lord the Savior, the Lord of all power, the Lord, the God of heaven, the God of earth, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Not just any old God, there is only one God. Beside Him there is none other. There's only one Savior. There's only one Counselor, one mighty God, one everlasting Father, one Prince of Peace, one who is the author and the finisher of our faith. There's only one, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Our Father, especially, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That name should be more important. We should be concerned more about His name than anything else. Our purpose of meeting today is to praise His name. Our purpose of praying at home should be to praise His name. Not just to get what we want, but that He would be praised in our life. And He said, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. I believe that the Lord set up His kingdom when He came here into this world. I believe we are enjoying that kingdom here. I believe today we've had a piece of that kingdom. I believe we've had righteousness and joy and the peace and peace and the Holy Ghost. And Romans 14 says that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. I believe whenever God's little children come and we can sit together like we have today, we sit as kings and priests unto God. Kings in the sense we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We have dominion over our lives and over what we've done by the grace of God. And we're also priests where we offer our praise to Him. What a blessing that is. And yet we're looking forward to a day when the fullness of His kingdom, in the sense we carry it out of the kingdom, is carried out of this world, take it home to glory. What a day that's going to be when we're forever with the Lord. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in earth, in heaven, so in earth. That means in us and in this world. May it be His will be done in me. His will be done. I'm thankful to know a God who works His will among the army in heaven and the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say, what doest thou? But I want to be resigned to His will, don't you? I want to be submissive to His will. I want to be thinking in according to His will. I want to be praying according to His will. He says, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. And in that prayer in Matthew, He said, give us this day our daily bread. Give us day by day. That means taking one day at a time. One moment at a time. Look to the Lord. You ever just get so wiped out worrying about everything that's coming? Wedding coming up. Got a whole lot to worry about. Well, the Lord may come before the wedding. You know, sometimes we go like, whew, what are we going to do if that happens? It'd be all right. Maybe really all right, right? I'm telling you. I want to have this happen. I want to have that happen. I want thy will be done. Not my will, thy will be done. In earth, in me, in this old earthen vessel, in this world, may I be in submissive to thy will. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread every day. I think of that little woman oftentimes that Elijah was sent to when she had that last meal. And you think about that last meal she was about to make, and he said just, she was going to eat that last meal and her and her son were going to eat it and die. That's all their hope was. And Elijah said, first make me a cake. And she took that last meal
made him a cake. You know how long she lived off that last meal? Until the rain fell. Every day. Now listen, he didn't fill everything. I want it all sometimes filled, don't you? I want it all filled up. That way I know I got enough. Nope. Every day I went in and make that last meal. You know how much faith she needed? Every day. She needed it every day. You know how much faith you and I need for our food? Every day. For our raiment? Every day. For our physical health? Every day. For our spiritual health? Every day. And he's the same. Aren't you glad he's the same every day? And the one who filled our barrel, gave us what we needed yesterday, doesn't necessarily, he can fill it up. He did fill it up on some occasions, but he doesn't always fill it up. He sometimes just gives you enough for the day. You know what he said? Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So I hope he's given us enough today, right now, this morning, for this moment. You know what we'll need when we leave here? We'll need it for that moment. And you know who's able to give it to us? Him. So where will we? When will we need to stop? When can we just stop trusting? We'll never stop trusting until we get home to with Him in glory. And at that point, we no longer need to trust because what we're hoping for, we'll have. And we'll see Him in such a glorious, wonderful way. We can see Him through an eye of faith right now, today, by His grace. Give us day by day our daily bread and forgive us our sins. Oh, how often do you pray that? Every day. So the man who says, I don't sin anymore. I've heard religions that said, I used to sin, but I got saved and I don't sin anymore. And he didn't realize even when he said that he was sinning because he was telling a lie. How often do we need to ask the Lord to forgive us our sins? Every day. You know why? Because we sin every day. And how long will that be? Every day you live until you leave this world. You have this old body of sin to deal with. Paul said, you'll change my vile body. Not that I got it straight now. Come get it. But you'll change my vile body, make it like unto thine. That'll happen in the day we're glorified and made like Jesus. Until that time, we pray every day, forgive us our sins. The reason we know this isn't the Lord's Prayer, and I know I'm done. The reason we know this isn't the Lord's Prayer is because He never had to pray, forgive us our sins. Get this though, they didn't say forgive me. This isn't a selfish, when our prayers don't include others, we're missing it. This model prayer tells us to include others. This is Paul, right from the beginning. Our Father, not my Father who is in heaven, but our Father who art in heaven. Who's he praying for? Everybody. So when you and I pray, we ought to be praying for everybody. We ought not just be praying for ourselves. Pray for everybody. Pray for God's children. Even to pray for your enemies. I'm not near done. I got to stop. When you have a mind to pray, remember me. I love you. God bless you. I never got to the friend. I love you, brother. Brother Terry is my friend. I went over to Brother Terry's house.